once again, this past week, we witnessed an example of man's inhumanity to man. Once more, we saw pure evil personified in the taking of so many lives and injuring so many people in New Orleans, Louisiana. It brought to my mind a passage of Scripture found in Psalm chapter 57 and verse 7. A passage of Scripture that would be good for us to focus our lives on in this coming year. Something that would be good for us to add to our New Year's resolutions for 2025. Perhaps we could actually replace one of those New Year's resolutions we've already broken with this one. Because in Psalm chapter 57 and verse 7, the sweet singer of Israel left us these words. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Now I'm quite certain that all of us understand that when David penned those words, David was not speaking of this pump that's in my body that sends the blood as it courses through the veins and the arteries and the capillaries of my body. But what David simply says there in a clear bell-like statement is, my mind is made up, O God. My mind is made up. O God, I have reached a decision. I have decided on a course of action. I have taken a stand. I am going to honor and I am going to serve God. Basically, David's saying the same thing there that Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua called all of Israel together and Joshua was giving his final address to them. And he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Listen to it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's what I want you to do this morning. I want you to take a look at the condition of this world that you and I are living in. There is corruption, there is greed, there is violence, there is hatred, there is evil on every hand in our world. If there has ever been a time in the history of our nation, if there has ever been a time in the history of our world, if there has ever been a time in the history of the Lord's church, that we need fixed minds, fixed hearts, and determined wills, it is now. Fixed hearts, fixed minds, and determined wills to do what God would have us to do and to live God's kind of life. When I think about a man with a fixed heart, when I think about a man whose mind was made up, when I think about a man who was going to serve God no matter what the cost, I think of that great man of the Old Testament by the name of Job. A man determined to do God's will no matter what else happened. If we were to measure our lives by the life of this man, Job, how much courage do we really have? How much faith do we really have? How strong and how deep is our commitment? I want you to look at the man Job. The Scriptures tell us that he was a man who was perfect and upright. A man who feared God and hated evil. He had a great family. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. In terms of material possessions, Job was a wealthy man. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, a great household of servants. This man, Job, was one of the greatest of all the men of the East. I mean, let's be honest. If we knew a man like Job today, if Job was our neighbor, if Job lived among us today, most of us would be quite envious of a man like Job who possessed everything that he had. Well, the story goes on. And as the story of Job continues, It seems there was a day that the sons of God came together. And when the sons of God came together, the devil was there among them. And in the narrative, we have a conversation between God and Satan himself, the archenemy of mankind. God said to Satan, he said, "Where did you come from?" And the devil said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in the earth." And that day when the sons of God had come together and the devil was there, Job became the topic of conversation. And God wanted to know from the devil, he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. A man perfect, a man who's upright, one who fears God and hates evil." "Well," the devil says, "why wouldn't Job serve you? Why wouldn't Job love you? You've built a hedge around Job. You've built a hedge around everything he has on every side. You've blessed him. You've increased his substance. Sure, Job loves you. Sure, Job serves you. But," the devil says, "let me tell you something, God. You take all that away. You take everything away from Job you've given to Job, God, and Job will curse you to your face. Don't you know? Job's just serving you, God, for what he can get from you." So God gave the devil the green light. He said, "Everything that you have, that Job has, is in your power. Only don't lay a hand upon Job personally." Do you remember the story of Job? Everything he had was taken away. A servant comes and said, "Job, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys were feeding beside them. Robbers came and took them, and the servants were all killed, and I alone am left to come and tell you." Another servant comes and said, "Job, fire came down from heaven and burned the sheep and the servants, and I alone am left to come and tell you the bad news." Before he finished, another servant comes and says, "Job, all the camels have been stolen." Can you imagine this? All of his material wealth has suddenly vanished. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, all of his servants, they're all gone. And before the last servant got through, another servant comes and says, "Job, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking and making merry in the oldest brother's house, and a wind came in from the wilderness and lifted the house from the four corners, and it fell on them, and all of your sons and your daughters are dead." Now look at this man, Job. One of the greatest men of all the East, a man that had great material possessions, and everything's been taken away from him. His family is all gone. What would you have done? What would I have done? Under the circumstances that Job is in right now, what would have been my reaction? What would have been your reaction to all of this tragedy? Before I tell you Job's reaction, I want to tell you a real life reaction. There was a young woman once upon a time who was very faithful and very loyal to the church. And she was the perfect example. She was the epitome of what a young Christian woman should be. There was not a service of the church that she was not present for. Sunday morning Bible class, Sunday morning worship, Sunday afternoon worship, Sunday evening worship, midweek Bible study, gospel meeting, singing, special events, potluck dinners, every activity the church had, she was there for. She was looked upon as the very image of everything that Christianity stood for. Later in life, this woman married. And into that home was born a little baby girl. And that little baby girl was the idol of that home. At about 7 months of age, that baby girl became seriously ill. This young mother This woman who had been so faithful in the service of the Lord. She walked the floor and defied God with every fiber of her being. She says, if God takes my baby, He's unjust. If God takes my baby, He's unfair. If God takes my baby, He's unkind, and I will not, and I will never serve a God like that. Her baby died. And this woman kept her vow to dishonor God. She refused to serve God if her baby died, and she kept that promise. And she went to the very bottom of the gutter and the very depths of degradation. And until the day that they died, she and my uncle never again darkened the doors of a church building where the saints of God had assembled to worship. What was wrong? Their mind wasn't made up. Their heart was not fixed. They were not determined to serve God no matter what the cost was. How different their attitude was from the attitude of David. If you remember David, when his baby was sick, the baby he had had with Bathsheba. When David's baby was sick, David fasted and he prayed. And the baby died. And when the baby died, David bathed and he put on new clothes and he sat down to eat. And David said, I can't bring him back. I can't bring him back, David said. But I can go to him. Because his mind was made up to serve God. Well, let's go back to Job, the man we're talking about. Remember, everything Job had been taken away. He hasn't lost one son, he's lost seven. He hasn't lost one daughter, he's lost three. And here's what the Scripture says in Job chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, are you listening to it? Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What would we have done? What would you and I have done? How much would it take to get me or you? How much would it take to get us to denounce God? How much would it take to get us to stop worshiping God? How fixed is my heart? How determined is my will to serve God? But the story of Job continues. It's going to get worse. The sons of God come together again. And again, the devil is there among them. And again, Job becomes the topic of conversation. And again, God says, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in all the earth. A man perfect and upright. One that fears God and hates evil. Now listen. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou move me against him without cause. That's in Job chapter 2 and verse 2. Well, then here is the devil's reply. Bless his heart. Job chapter 2 verses 4 and 5. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all will a man that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. The devil, as much as says, yeah, God, he still loves you and he still serves you, but you haven't done anything to Job. How much would you have to do to a man for the devil to say something had been done to him? Tell you what, God, the devil said, you actually do something to Job. You do something to Job, and Job's going to curse you to your face. Everything's been taken away. So God gives the devil permission. He says, you do anything you want to do to Job, but spare his life. Now I realize it makes a difference who's having problems and hardships and trials. When it's someone else having the problem, it doesn't seem nearly so trying and so difficult and so rough as when I'm dealing with it myself. It's kind of like the old difference in major surgery and minor surgery. Minor surgery is when Leon's having a surgical procedure. Major surgery is when I'm having the same thing. That's the difference in major surgery and minor surgery. It's kind of like little Johnny was in Sunday school class. You know, little Johnny's always the bad boy. And the teacher had just told the story of the Good Samaritan out of Luke chapter 10. And she said, now class, what does this story mean? Little Johnny raised his hand and she just kind of cringed. And she said, yes, Johnny. He said, it means if I'm in trouble, somebody's supposed to help me. Never occurred to him that the whole point of the story Jesus told is that we're to help others. No, it means if I'm in trouble, somebody's supposed to help me. So you remember what happened to Job this time? Job is covered in boils. From the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. Nasty, filthy, slimy boils all over his body. Did you ever have a boil? I don't need you to raise your hand, but just think about it. How many of you ever had a boil? I've had some. And they always seem to be under my belt. And they hurt. I've had them where that I thought, you know, maybe amputation would be just the best thing, or maybe even euthanasia. But if you've ever had a boil, you know how much those things can hurt. Imagine being covered in those nasty, filthy boils from the top of your head to the sole of your foot. I can see by an eye of faith, I can just see Job sitting there in those ashes. He's got a piece of broken pottery. It's called a potsherd. He's got a piece of broken pottery scraping the nasty, filthy, slimy boils off of his body. And his wife comes along. And she says, Job, do you still retain your integrity? Job, it's not worth it, she says. Curse God and die. Give it up, Job. It's not worth it. You know what Job said to her? He says, you talk like the foolish women talk. You talk like those that don't know God. You talk like those that don't know how wonderful God is. Here's what he says in Job chapter 2 and verse 10. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hands of God, and shall we not receive evil? Listen to what it says. In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Not one time. Later on, this man would cry out in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, though thou slay me, yet will I trust in thee. Job said, God, you can take my life, but I'm going to have faith in you. I'm going to have confidence in you, and I'm going to trust you, God. My heart is fixed. My mind is made up. I've reached a decision, God. I'm going to honor and I'm going to serve you. That's what this old world of ours stands in need of this morning. Here at the beginning of this new year, at the first Lord's Day of 2025, what this old world of our needs is men and women with fixed hearts and determined wills to do what God would have them to do at all cost. That would cure all the ills of this nation. That would cure all the ills of the world. And that would cure all the ills of the church. It'd bring an end to all unfaithfulness. It would be the end of the church being a secondary affair in people's lives, and it would bring out the very best that there is in every one of us this morning. I want to mention one more man with a fixed heart. And this time I'm going to turn to the New Testament. And it's the same passage we used as our text last Lord's Day, where Paul writes in the Philippian letter in chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the prize for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He said, "Brethren, I have not apprehended. I haven't gained heaven as yet. I'm not there. But this one thing I do." What is it, Paul? "Forgetting the past and reaching for the things in the future, I press toward the prize for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The picture I get of Paul is of a man reaching forth with every fiber of his being to gain heaven as his ultimate goal. It makes me think of when I was a little boy. When I was a little boy, my mother used to make cookies. And they were good. And I enjoyed them. I enjoyed them so much, you know what my mother did with those cookies? She put them in a cookie jar on the very top shelf of the kitchen cabinet. Can you imagine a woman being that mean? She's got a little boy 4 or 5 years old, and she makes cookies and puts them in a cookie jar on the very top shelf of the cabinet. I was a resourceful young lad. And I learned that I could take, you remember those old chrome dinette sets in the kitchen with the vinyl seats and backs? Well, I learned that I could drag that over to the kitchen cabinet and I could climb up in that chair. And from that chair, I could stand up on the cabinet. And standing up on the cabinet, I could open that cabinet door. Now, these cabinets went all the way to the ceiling. But I could open that cabinet door and I could stand on my tippy toes and I could reach in that cookie jar. More than one time, I was reaching in that cookie jar and heard this voice, "Young man, what do you think you're doing?" But that's the image I get of Paul. I was on that cabinet, on my tippy toes, stretching with everything my little body had to get a cookie. And there's Paul. He's forgetting the past, and with every fiber of his being, stretching as hard as he can, he's pressing on toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because his heart was fixed. His mind was made up. He had reached a decision. He had decided on a course of action. He was going to serve God with every fiber of his being. Could I encourage you this morning to say with David, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." If you've never put the Lord on in baptism, could I convince you this morning before you leave this building to come in simple trusting faith, repenting of everything that's sin in your life, confessing the name of Christ and being buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of past sins and saying, "My heart is fixed, O God." Or you've done that in the past, but your heart hasn't been fixed. Your mind hasn't been made up. God hasn't been a priority in your lives. Would you repent of that and let brothers and sisters pray with you and for you? Are there needs in your life that we can help you with? Needs that we can help you with to make Jesus the Lord and Master of your life? If we can help you, if we can help you fix your heart and your mind on serving the Lord at all costs, this is your opportunity to let us help you do that as together we stand and while we sing.